Good morning, everybody. I wasn't sure how many would be out, but it's not too bad. Now, before we start, this PowerPoint will probably not work because it always freezes whenever I try to do it. And you'll forgive me for looking up here. My eyesight's bad, so I can't see down there. So I'm going to keep looking up here. So you'll forgive me for that. So this morning, we're going to talk about the candy cane. Now, you might have seen this before. You might have heard of it before. I hadn't until I come across it. And so you might have heard it here before, but it's good to refresh all the time. So the story of the candy cane is this. It was made in the 1880s by a candy maker who lived in Indiana. Anybody know that? And the whole idea was, back then in Europe, preaching the gospel or Christianity was nearly banned. And so he decided we need to make some sort of a thing that can be easily given out, that people can easily get a gospel message from it and realize their need of salvation. And so he came up with this. He came up with a candy cane. Now, I was supposed to have a bigger one here that was 3 foot, but it didn't arrive in time due to the post. So I borrowed this one, so I better not break it because it's a real one. It's not plastic, it's real. And I borrowed it, so I better not drop it. So here we go, the candy cane. Well, this is not how it started. There's how it started there, plain white. It was plain white candy. Now we're going backwards. There we go. Oh, you know why it wasn't working? I was pressing the wrong button. That's why it wasn't working. So here's how it started, plain white. And here's what the Bible says. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The candy cane was white because he was born of a virgin, a pure woman. It was white like himself. Jesus was pure. Here's what the Bible says again. We're just going through a whole lot of verses, and everyone who has this hope fixed in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Here we go again, another one. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. When our sins are forgiven, they are white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so there's where the red stripes come in. The red stripes are introduced to represent. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, his back was whipped, and there were stripes like a ploughed field. And so this candy maker, this is where he came, with these stripes, and then he made them red to represent the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there you go. There's white to represent the pure, red for the stripes. Now, some of them you get have a big, thick red and then a wee, tiny red. This one just is red and white. Anything else we can get from it? What about this? The letter J. Is that the right way around? You're reading it backwards. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The candy cane maybe was meant to be this shape. I don't know. But it represents the letter J for Jesus. And then you see, there we go. Turn it back around again. The shepherd's staff. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I've put a picture there of a shepherd's staff to show how it works. Now, I only ever worked with cows. I never worked with sheep. But apparently you put it around the neck like that and pulled it in. And in the Bible, we're told that Jesus is the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, and he gave his life for his sheep. Now, what about the rock? Candy cane's very, very hard. I can't even eat them anymore because my teeth are nearly gone with eating sweets and fizzy drinks, and if I could eat one of these, I can be guaranteed, and I could guarantee it, a filling would come out. They're made of rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. The Lord is my rock. Did you think there was as much in a candy cane? I certainly didn't until I started to look it up. What about sweet? It certainly tastes sweet. It tastes nice. And as we walk in love, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Boys and girls, this morning, there's lots in a candy cane. I don't know if anybody got them for Christmas. I certainly used to get them for Christmas. There's so much in it. There's the purity. There's the blood. There's the stripes on his back as he went to the cross. He's the rock of our salvation. He is a sweet smelling savor. What about broken? You ever think about broken? Now, boys and girls, as you leave here this morning, there's some out there and there's some at the back. And I have to be honest, as I took them out of the packet, I broke some of them. I actually proved my point as I was doing it. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And maybe this morning, boys and girls, you've sat here, maybe adults, you've sat here at the table and you've seen the bread going out and you thought, what is that all about? What is the bread about? The body of Christ was broken for us. His body was broken on the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins. What about the greatest gift? You see, you might get them this morning like this. Sometimes you get them in a wee gift pack. And what about the greatest gift? Well, the candy cane is certainly not the greatest gift you can get. But here's what the Bible says. And whenever I was typing these out last night, Emily was sitting beside me and she says, that's where we were learning in Sunday school, those two verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Is that not the greatest gift? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest gift that we can have this morning. Christmas is past and we've got all our gifts, but the greatest gift that we can have on the last Sunday of the year is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, here's one that I didn't think about. And I searched everywhere. I was running about last week. I was in Lidl's, I was in Tesco's, I was in Sainsbury's, I was everywhere trying to find these to give them out. And I was actually out in the lorry one day and I pulled up, I saw Lidl's and I just wheeled it up into the and run in, they had none. And there's a friend of mine owns a sweet shop and I texted him, I said, have you any candy canes? And he said, I need red and white. I only need red and white. I can't have green on it. And he sent me a photo and he came back with this. This is all I have. So I started to think about it. Green. Where could the significance of the green come in? Well, I don't know if you had these. Whenever I was a child at home, we used to have candy canes hanging on the tree. And then it hit me. Green hanging on the tree. And here's the verse. Here is the verse that sums it all up. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sin should live under righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. And I thought this verse just gets it. This verse gets the whole thing to do with the candy cane. We get it. His body hung on the tree that we might be forgiven for our sins. And by his stripes, there we go again, we are healed. And so this morning as you walk out, you're going to get one with green on it. You're going to get it because that's the most important. He hung on the tree. As we say so often, if he had just died, well, sure, people die all the time. He was raised again that we might have life. And boys and girls this morning, as you take this home and as you eat it, as you see it next year at Christmas time, remember this, that the candy cane portrays the whole life of Jesus straight out to us. Remember all the things. It was white. It was striped. It was red, the rock, it's sweet, it was broken, and it was hanging, I might have missed one there, I don't know, it was hanging on the tree. So thank you this morning for listening. Remember, Jesus died for us, he was the greatest gift ever given, and he made it available that we can have a way to heaven if we simply ask him and trust him as our Lord and our Savior. Thank you.
Yeah. Before we come to the word this morning, let's have a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank you for this time of the year that reminds us of the Saviour's birth. And we thank you for this open Bible before us when we can look at thy word. And we ask that all that's said and done this morning will bring glory to the Lord Jesus, that these words will be your words and your thoughts and not mine. We ask us in thy ever worthy and precious name. Amen. A good while ago, Morris had asked me would I speak at the end of the year. And I said to him, let me pray about it. But I had been looking at this passage, and I thought it would be nice for a Sunday morning, but I never deemed that yours truly would be standing here this morning. I thought somebody else would do it. And so I prayed about it, and I come back to Morris, and I said, I believe in putting the fleece out. And I said to Morris, listen, is it Sunday morning or Sunday evening? And he says, you choose. So I had no option, so I had to be faithful to the Lord. I want you to turn with me, please, to Psalm 103. I was sitting in the back hall last Sunday morning, and my brother Alan said that he was getting into the Psalms, and I was terrified. I thought, I hope he doesn't pick Psalm 103, but he didn't. Psalm 103, and I want to read the entire portion of his word this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his ways are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments and do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his good pleasure. Bless the Lord, O his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I think if you were ever feeling depressed or feeling down, if you ever struggled for a moment, if you turned to Psalm 103, your heart would be lifted. As I looked and I studied about this psalm, it is regarded by many that David is the writer here. There's no title at the start of this psalm. There's no particular battle or event. It's pure worship from David's heart. C.H. Spurgeon said that this was one of his favorite psalms. There's many times where David could have written about the time that the Lord helped him defeat the Goliath. There's no list of requests in this psalm. There's no complaints in this psalm. There's no foes in this psalm. There's no looking back at how things could have been done different. This psalm, as I said, is pure worship for what the Lord has done. All that's in the gospel is in this psalm through Jesus Christ. As David looks back down through the years in appreciation of what the Lord has done for him, we as believers can do this morning. Of course, this psalm is primarily for believers this morning. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. You've never had that moment in your life when you've turned from your sin, when you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. As David reflects, he calls in every part of his being to worship the Lord. All that is within me, verse 1. And he thanks God for all his goodness, spiritually, physically, financially, meeting his needs. As we think of this week, we thank the Lord for our needs that he's met this week. We think of the months, we think of the weeks that we've went past. we think of the year that we've come through and what a year that's been. A lot of us can look back over the decades, how the Lord has kept us and protected us and provided our every needs. But I'm sure if I was to ask you to write down this morning all the blessings, you couldn't do it this morning. Oh yes, you can remember the day and the hour when the Lord Jesus convicted you of your sins by the power of the Holy Spirit and you turned from darkness into life, light. I'm sure you can remember that you were changed from Satan's power to God's power. But think of the many blessings. We can hardly think of many, let alone all the blessings. It's impossible. One of the hymn writers springs to mind is, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Oh, maybe there's been a time this year when you've been struggling physically or mentally or financially or even spiritually, and all seemed to be hopeless and helpless. But through it all, the Lord was with you and sustained you through it all. We read in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, for he says, for he himself, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. As David looked back and remembered how the Lord had been with him all down through those years, all those battles, all those troubles, all facing death at various times, we can recall one of those occasions. If you turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel. Chapter 21, please. We'll look at the latter part of 2 Samuel 21, verses 20 and 21, and right into chapter 22. And there was yet a battle in Gath, and there was a man of great stature that had every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he was also born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, thy high tower and my refuge. My Saviour, thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Oh, David was reminded here of how good the God was to him for his protection. His heart was full of worship. His heart was full of praise. We too can thank the Lord for all his protection, for God's provision down through the years, but most of all for our salvation. We can also thank him for his guiding hand. And more importantly, we who were strangers are now his children. We were bought. He bought us and he sought us and he bought us. What a privilege we have as God's children into God's amazing family. But maybe you're here this morning or maybe you're listening online and as yet you don't know this great and mighty God. Maybe there's never been a time in your life when you've turned from your sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, why not? You see, all these blessings and benefits are for the believer. This is what you're missing out on. As we look at this psalm this morning as David's personal account of worship, maybe there's some here this morning and maybe you've lost the joy of your salvation. You know, the Lord can meet your needs this morning. As we look at this passage this morning, my heart's desire is that saints would be edified and blessed, that backsliders would be restored and souls saved, and the Lord uplifted and glorified. The Lord can meet all our needs this morning. And David here in this passage is pouring out his heart, who through life has been his guide. This psalm is pure worship and praise, as I've said this morning. It's a personal praise from David's soul. It says in John 4 and 19, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Friends, we're met here this morning as a body of believers. We are the church, not this building. We are met here this morning to worship God. It's not externally by rituals, religious rituals and places, but outward showing, but in a desire from the very depths of our soul, from our own human spirit, to worship God. God demands worship this morning. David starts here, bless the Lord, O my soul. He stirs up his soul to worship the Lord with every fiber of his being. C.H. Spurgeon said this: David understood true worship was something deeply inward from the soul. It's not just an outward expression, but it's about something real from the soul. Soul music is music of the soul. We praise the Lord in many ways. We sing hymns. We read his word. We thank him for it. We pray. We talk to our Heavenly Father. What a privilege we have. I came across this hymn here, and there's a mix of verses in it. And it's called, "My Soul Now Praise Your Maker." My soul now praise your maker. Let all within me bless his name, who makes you full partaker of mercies more than you dare claim. As high as heaven's above us, as close from close of day, so far hath he loved us, he puts our sins away. Praise him forever reigning, all you who hear his word, our life and all sustaining, my soul now praise the Lord. There's no grander or no greater outpouring of praise and worship than this from David in Psalm 103. Verse 1. In these first five verses that we're going to look at this morning, there's five calls I've noted. A call to his soul to wake up. David in verse 1 here says, he's calling on his very soul. He's having an in-depth talk to himself to exhort himself, his head, his heart, his mind, his body and soul together in tune, praising the God. So often whenever we come into this building, folks, we come here with our bodies, but our hearts and our heads and our minds are somewhere else. And David's mindful of this morning. And he says that all that is within me worship his holy name. It's not just our lips with an outward expression, but from the very depths of our soul as he blesses the Lord. Every time we come into this building or come before the Lord, we should come respectively. We should become ready to worship, ready to listen, ready to thank God and render praise and worship to him. He is worthy and acceptable as our Father. A call to his soul to wake up. But then in verse 2 here it says, a call to his soul not to forget. He says, soul, don't forget all the benefits. So often we are guilty of this. You remember that in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, that Israel was so blessed in Hezekiah's day. I haven't time to turn to it this morning. But they were abundantly blessed. Their storerooms were full. They were overflowing. And then the Assyrian king Sennacherib came in, and he was going to destroy them. And so Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed to the Lord. They'd done the right thing. And the Lord saved them. And some 185,000 of that Assyrian army were destroyed in one prayer. But then as Hezekiah thought, and all the presents and gifts that came to him, he didn't give praise and honor to the Lord. And the Lord put him on a sick bed nigh unto death. Then he humbled himself. He was taking the praise that the Lord was due. We need to be careful that we do not do that. Friends, we need to praise the Lord for what he has done and never forget the benefits that he has blessed us with. As I look around here this morning, I'm sure like me, you've had your face washed in warm water this morning. It's been fresh water. I'm sure you've had a cup of tea or a cup of coffee this morning. I'm sure you've had a breakfast. Soon we will have the Sunday lunch or Sunday roast. Have you blessed the Lord for these blessings? Are you thankful? But there's so much more than material blessings here. There's spiritual blessings. As I look around this congregation this morning, and I hope I don't leave some out, there are those that have been given gifts that are used. We think of the elders, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the JYC leaders, the Good News Club, the BYF, those who preach, those who sing, those who are prayer warriors in this place, those who play the instruments, those who do the sound and the camera work, those who lead up the silver threads and the salt group, the women's group, those who work the cameras, those who drive the buses. What blessings we have, both individually and corporately. We must never forget the blessings that the Lord has blessed us with. A call to his soul to wake up. A call to his soul, forget not. But then there's a call to his soul to remember what the Lord has done. Verse 3 here it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Friends, it's not 75% of our iniquities. It's not 99%. It's all our iniquities. You know how the advertisement goes. It says it kills 99%. That's not good enough, friends. We needed total cleansing. We needed all our sins dealt with. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can do this. Only this God that we trust in can do that. This is the first benefit that David lists here, and it's the most important thing, to have our sins forgiven. Paul reminds us of this in 1 Colossians 12-14, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. When God forgives our sins, friends, look down at verse 12. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Already quoted by Richard this morning, Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Lo, your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Lo, they be red like crimson, they shall be as wood. Not only does God completely remove our sins, God completely cleanses us from our sins. In Jeremiah 31:34, in the latter part it says, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. What a God. Worthy of our praise this morning. He forgives our sin. He removes our sin. He cleanses us. He remembers our sins no more. Three wonderful blessings from our Lord. When we come and ask forgiveness, as it says in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, this morning we are way, way behind when we're giving thanks to God. We are way, way behind in our gratefulness for what the Lord has done. He has paid our debts, past, present, and future. He's forgiven us for yesterday. He'll forgive us for today. He'll forgive us for tomorrow, next week, next month. What a wonderful God we have. Our sins are paid for in full when we come and ask him for forgiveness. What a benefit to know that our sins are paid for. We are forgiven. Praise the Lord this morning. We can say with the words of the hymn writer, who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free, in wonder lost with trembling joy, pardon for sins of deepest dye, a pardon sealed with Jesus' blood. Well, may we never forget the benefit of forgiveness. But that's not all in this verse. He heals all our diseases. Some folks think that this is physical disease, while others think it's a disease of sin, pride, lust, and envy. Either way, friends, as believers, we will know total healing in eternity. Some this past year have known God's healing hand upon them as they've suffered from the virus. But one day, friends, we will be completely healed. In God's sovereignty, he will heal people this side of eternity, but we will all be healed on the next side of eternity. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more arthritis, no more heart disease, no more cancer, no more death. For believers, this new body, we will be free from disease. Oh, but friends, we'll be free from the very presence of disease. Child of God this morning, what benefits these are. Free from the very presence of sin. But I wonder, unsaved this morning, do you realize what you're missing out on? You're not forgiven. You stand condemned this morning. Give up your sin and trust the Lord Jesus and have this joy, this peace, this contentment that the forgiveness of God only comes from. All who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus will know this contentment. But sadly, friends, there is a warning. If you haven't judged God as your pardoner here, he will be your judge. Sadly, if you haven't trusted the Lord, there will be no release from pain. You will spend eternity in hell. It reminds us in Luke 16:23-24, that the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He asked for Abraham to send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. For I am tormented in this place. Friends, this morning, I couldn't lie on my bed knowing that if I wasn't saved, hell would be my eternal home. But I ask you to repent and call unto the Lord Jesus. And you will know this forgiveness that we have now. And you'll be praising with us who are believers that we will have the peace and contentment of the Lord Jesus in our hearts for all eternity. What a comfort. Folks, what a wonderful Lord we have this morning. What a wonderful time awaits us in heaven. In this verse, we are pardoned, who forgiveth all of our iniquities, but we are healed. He is our physician, both physically and spiritually, all because the Lord died on the cross for us. God is our partner. God is our physician. We praise God for the pardon from sins. In Isaiah, we're reminded of this in chapter 55 and verse 7. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." When sin is pardoned, our greatest sorrow was ended. I want to repeat that. When sin is pardoned, our greatest sorrow was ended. What joy is bestowed upon God's children this morning? While some can praise him for physical healing this year, some have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior this year. What a blessing this is. God is not only healer of the body, but of the soul. And he must be worshipped the same as David had worshipped him in these verses. Call to his soul to wake up. A call to his soul to forget not. A call to his soul to remember what the Lord has done and will do. But there's a call to realize what we are redeemed from. In verse 4, it says here, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Friends, we will not face hell. We are saved from destruction. God not only pardons us, he heals us. He has redeemed us. He's our redeemer. He became our substitute. He bore our sins and our sorrows on the tree and made them his very own. I'm redeemed, something that you and I can't do for ourselves. All the money in the world couldn't redeem us. The vast debt we owed, only Christ and his precious blood can cleanse us. We needed a redeemer, someone who would pay our debt, someone who would pay our salvation. But you know, the Lord had to be spotless. There needed not to be a blemish in the Lord Jesus, and he sent the Lord Jesus to the cross, who was sinless and spotless. There needed to be a perfect substitute to die in our place. If it had been one spot, friends, he couldn't have redeemed us this morning. And 1 Peter, we're reminded of this. "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by your fathers, but with the precious blood, as a lamb without spot, the Lord took our punishment. He died for our souls, dying in our place." C.H. Spurgeon said this. "He blesses those he could have justly destroyed and sent to hell." What a thought. You and I deserved hell this morning, but we're redeemed. That's why we should be at this table. So thankful and so grateful for what God has done this morning. Oh, friends, as we sit here this morning, we're redeemed, praise the Lord. This verse goes on, "We are not just saved from destruction, but we are crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies." Look at verse 8 and 9. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." The height of his mercy, the breadth of his forgiveness, oh, but oh, the depth of his compassion. We got from God. What a blessing to our souls this morning to realize we're redeemed. What a blessing to know that God has forgiven us. In verse 9 there it says, "He will not always chide." He doesn't stand with a big stick, and I say this reverently, whenever you and I step out of line. His chiding is needful. His chiding is necessary, but it's done in mercy. And once we come through it and he's dealt with our sin, he never reminds us of it. Fanny Crosby wrote this hymn, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am." No such a thing as losing our salvation. We're secure in Christ. A call to remember what the Lord has done and will do. A call to realize what we are redeemed from. Destruction. A call reminding his soul that he's not just saved and left alone. Verse 5 says this, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Brothers and sisters, this morning, only satisfaction is found in Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer wrote, now none but Christ can satisfy. But long before that hymn was penned, David knew who satisfaction came from. It came from the Lord. Our former pastor Dennis said this, Mick Jagger sang a song, I can't get no satisfaction. People are still searching this day. As you're traveling to church, you see them out on their bicycles, you see them out walking and running. They're spending fortunes on cream and lotions and surgery and in the gym, something I don't do, to feel and look better. But sadly, more money, bigger cars, and bigger houses, the list is endless, brings no satisfaction. Only Christ brings satisfaction. I wonder this morning, dear friends, as we sit at our lunch this morning, will we be thankful for what's on the plate? We should be. We have all clothes on our backs this morning. We have shoes on our feet. We have all came here either by car or by minibus. So thankful to God for what he has blessed us with. Reminded of that verse in Luke 12, verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet, I say, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass, which today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful, for in all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for our Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What a promise from our God this morning. In this year that has gone past, friends, we have been satisfied. It's been a hard year. But whenever we look in and we look up, it's a different story. Looking out, all seems trouble and gloom. Don't watch the television. Turn to the book. Turn to Psalm 103. It brings joy to your hearts. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy 6 and 6? But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, therewith be content. When our focus is on the Lord and the blessings what he has blessed us with, physically and spiritually, we will be satisfied. We will be, like David in return, we will be joyful. We will be blessed. We will be thankful. But the verse doesn't end there. It says, so thy youth is renewed like an eagle's. Oh, I know, brothers and sisters, I look around the congregation as I look at myself, the glasses, the lack of hair, the gray hair. But the Lord has been good to us. As I think about those in their homes, that I think about those here in the congregation who are in their 80s and 90s, God has kept them. I don't want to pick anybody out, but there's one wee man and he has just released a CD, full of the joy of the Lord. Along with many others, they're regularly here at the place of prayer. They're regularly here at the Word. Their drive and their motivation has stayed the same for so many years. They have served the Lord well in this place. Their attendance has been excellent. Why? Because the Lord has blessed them. Ultimately, the Lord has empowered them and given them the stamina and the strength to go on. They are renewed like an eagle's. What blessings and what benefits we have as God's people. Oh, I know there's those this morning and they're battling and struggling with physical ailments this morning. But as you talk to them and sometimes on the phone, I ask them how they're doing, they're still full of the joy of the Lord in their hearts. Well, they may be riddled with pains, but the Lord's still in their heart. He still meets their needs this morning. Tell me, am you worshiping the Lord with our head, our mind, our heart, our body and soul, glorifying the Lord for all his benefits? No matter what life brings, God cares, God understands. He has sent us a comforter. He has sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us. What blessings we have this morning. As I close, there was two men, one in the 1800s and one in the year 1970s. One of them is called Henry Francis Light. He had a very poor upbringing. And in 1793, the young fella was really struggling. His father said he was useless. He became an orphan. And at his friend's bedside, who was dying, he found little to comfort him. As a result, he started to read the Bible. He became a preacher of the word. He wrote many poems and he spoke many languages. God blessed him, yet he suffered bad health through his life. He died in 1847, and at the age of 54, he wrote some powerful hymns. One of these was this, "Abide with Me," sung to this very day, most famous hymn. But in 1834, he wrote one of my favorite hymns, which is based on Psalm 103. We have it in Hymns of Faith here. "Praise my soul, the King of heaven. At his feet thy tribute ring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee thy praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise thee, everlasting King." It was in 1974, and another young fellow who had a really bad upbringing, his name was Matt Redman. He wrote this in 2013, 10,000 Reasons. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before. O my soul, I worship your holy name." Why? "You're rich in love, you're slow to anger, your great name, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find." What a blessing it is to be saved this morning, friends. How good is the God we adore. All down through the years, men and women have wrote and sang and praised the Lord for all his benefits, for his great salvation, for his goodness daily. As we come to the end of this message this morning, in these five verses, we have six blessings. Forgiveness of all our sins. Healing both physically and spiritually. Redeemed from destruction. Crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies us, food to sustain us in life. Renewed like the eagles. All supplied from our wonderful Lord. These are irreversible. Our God is able. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. One thing is sure. He will never place us where he cannot keep us, and he will never keep us where he cannot protect us. I trust these words to your heart this morning have been a blessing. They've been a blessing to mine. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for all his benefits. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. As we move from 2020 into 2021, may you know God's blessings. As we leave this place this morning, rejoicing in sins forgiven. God bless and a happy new year to you all. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this time this morning, and we thank you for help given. We just ask this morning that there's any under the sound of my voice who are still not saved, that they would realize their need of a Savior and leave 2020 rejoicing and sins forgiven. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your word this morning. We pray for every head bowed here that you would bless the homes, take us to our homes in safety, and be with us now as we meet round this table to remember the risen, glorified, and soon coming Lord Jesus, in whose name we bow and say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Bless us, Lord, and do us good in Jesus' name. Amen.